up, fellas? I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
Good. How was your summer?
It's okay, man. Been heading back and forth to Troy for a, seems like every weekend, man. But we kind of calmed down now. My boy's down there, so we've been trying to get him settled. But he's been down there for a while now.
Wow. Pretty cool.
He started the 28th of May down there, and he's gotten to come home twice, but not for very, very long. And now he's there till Christmas.
Mm.
Well,
so it's an adjustment.
Yeah, Troy. What Sunbelt Conference, right?
Sunbelt Conference. Yeah.
Was it DeMarcus Ware and OCU Manure played there? Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Absolutely.
Both won Super Bowls.
Yeah, but yeah, they sure did. Yeah, absolutely. They've got a wall down there. They've had quite a few people playing the NFL, man. Cool place, man. If y'all have ever been, they got a fantastic facility, man. It's I've been in Alabama's and Tennessee's, and it's not really behind theirs at all. I mean, it's their weight room, their meeting rooms. They got a whole facility. Their stadium is beautiful. The campus is beautiful. So it's a nice place, man. I'm happy for him. You know, he's just he doesn't. I think he's probably going to get redshirted, which I think most freshmen need to be redshirted, man. That's a big adjustment for a kid, you know, and he doesn't understand just yet that he's about to have to start school, which is hard. When you put football and then put school on top of football, it's really tough as a freshman.
Yeah.
Well, talking about Jameson, obviously, Riverdale quarterback now at Troy. I mean, those facilities, you're right. I remember when MTSU and Troy was in the they were in the Sun Belt together. Mm-hmm. Did you do some of those games down there, Kelly, with Chip?
I did.
Yeah.
I did, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we never watched the time that I was doing the broadcasting, man, we came close to beating them. I mean, they were really good.
I think Dwight Dasher maybe beat them once. I don't know. I can't remember anyway.
I don't remember him. Yeah, I don't remember him beating them either, man, because that was when I was doing the play. He might have. I don't know. You know, his senior year, we had a really good year. That's the year we won the New Orleans Bowl. But, you know, other than that, I don't, you know, we never sniffed them.
You know, Jameson Holcomb, I'm looking at the Troy roster, 5'11", 161. That sounds like this skinny kid that came out of Fayetteville to MTSU about 30 years ago.
He's gotten a little bigger now, man. He gained 15 pounds since he's been down there. So he's actually 6'1". He's not 5'11". Yep. He's 6'1".
Well, tell him to change the roster down there.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, it is what it is, man. Just as long as he's on the roster, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Well, is your daughter still at Lipscomb playing?
She is, yeah. She's at Lipscomb. She's got to move in Saturday. We got to take her down there Saturday to move in. So it's man, it's busy times in the summers for us. We got to move kids in and out, and you know we had to move him out for 5 days and then carry him right back. I don't understand why they do that. I don't understand why they can't get in a dorm room and stay in the dorm room from summer all the way through, you know, Christmas. I don't understand that. But we had to go down there and get him and bring his stuff back, and I'm like, why can't we just leave his stuff at one of his friends' houses? But, you know, whatever, you still got to take him back, so it didn't matter.
You know, well, they open up with Ole Miss, right?
They do, yeah. They open up with Ole Miss. Jameson said their defense is really, really good, and their offense is getting better, too. They've got I like their coaches, man. Their whole coaching staff is really good, but their offensive line coach is a guy that coached for the New England Patriots for 6 years. A guy's name is Cole Popovich, and actually when the Skarnecchia guy, when he retired, he retired and then came back. But when he retired, the guy that's at Troy now is their O-line coach. He just stayed on as their O-line coach, and he's really good. Jameson said those kids have gotten really, really good. So, you know, as a quarterback, that's what you want. Guys in front of you that can block, know what they're doing.
Well, you know, I don't feel too sorry for you. You got a daughter at Lipscomb and a son at Troy on athletic scholarship. So that helps the bottom line a little bit, doesn't it, Kelly?
Well, it does a little bit. It does a little bit. So,
are you guys empty nesters now?
For the most part, yeah. For the most part, yeah. My daughter's about to move out, and my oldest daughter, she came back and she finished her degree at Middle, and then came back home, and she's been working from home with my wife, and then she's about to spread her wings too. So yeah, we are going to be empty nesters. You know, we got this big old house, and I told my wife I'm ready to put in on the market, but we can't do that just yet because this house is way too big for just myself and her. So,
well, Kelly, let me ask you: a lot of being made out of Malik Willis coming in, third rounder, shows flashes athletically. Logan Woodside's been there. Talk about coming into the league from a college, no matter whatever their offense was on the collegiate level, and making that jump and everything you have to absorb. Talk about that process for a new quarterback.
It's pretty shocking, you know, and I don't know. Of course, I've been out of it for a while, but I just remember that when I went to Indianapolis, my playbook had 1,000 pages in it. People don't understand that. I mean, you come from college where, you know, your playbook is really what they put on the board. You know, they don't really give you a playbook. I mean, they get, you know, back when I played, you know, you just, you know, Coach Robbins got up there on the board and this is what we're going over and this is what we're doing. And, you know, they would write stuff down for you too. But it's just shocking sometimes how much stuff is in a NFL playbook. It's shocking, and it kind of, you know, it's shocking for my son right now to come from high school to go to college. And then, you know, there's a lot of stuff in colleges now. The NFL game is kind of dribbled down into college, so they've got a lot of stuff too. But, you know, as a college quarterback, the things that, you know, when you go to the NFL, you know, I don't know what program you came from, but, you know, I don't know if they had you worry about protections, which they should have, to get yourself blocked. But when you go to the National Football League, you've got to know what every person on that O-line is doing. You got to know what the tight end is doing, what his adjustment is, if he's the hot route, if, you know, if you got a receiver, what is his adjustment, if you got this coverage or that coverage. And, you know, there's just a lot thrown on the quarterback. And then, you know, being a drafted guy like the Willis kid is, and then you come in and he's, you know, he's, you can tell he's athletic and he's going to be a pretty good player. I was watching the other night, and I told my wife he made a throw. I think it was when he ran that naked, and he booted out to the left, and he threw it sidearm around the kid. And I'm like, yeah, that kid can play. because there's certain things he's looked for. Like some guys can't make those plays, and that's kind of what separates the Aaron Rodgers from the, you know, from the guys that didn't make it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's. You look at guys, and you look at a guy when he's in the pocket. Is he one of those guys? Now, you're getting more of them in the league now with guys that run around more. But, you know, there's always got to be times where a quarterback has to sit in the pocket and look down the barrel of a gun and know that he's about to get the trash knocked out of him and still make the throw. And there's not even some of the guys in the NFL that are second, third-string guys, even first-string guys, some of them will not do that. And, you know, that play that Malik Willis did the other day, when I saw him do that, I looked at my wife and I was like, that dude right there can play.
Yeah, and Vrabel I'm sorry, Cal, I didn't mean to cut you off, but no, Vrabel kind of mentioned the fact that, you know, I want to see him stay in the pocket and let her rip. And, you know, he seemed pretty inclined to run when his first option wasn't there. And that's the adjustment, right? In the NFL, like you said, you got to hang in the pocket and let the play develop and deliver the football, knowing you're going to get smacked right in the mouth.
Well, this new age quarterback is kind of different, and you're right, because then, I mean, who would have ever thought? I mean, Chan Gailey even said this, you know, when he was coaching at Buffalo, but he was like, I never thought I'd have to teach an NFL quarterback how to take a snap under center. And that, I mean, that's true. If you look at it, some of these guys don't even take snaps under center anymore. And then you come into the NFL, and I'm sure, I don't know if Malik Willis did or not. I'm sure that.
I remember, you know, Mariota didn't, right? Mariota, the first time he took a snap under center was when he got here.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's different. And, you know, I just saw him under center handing the ball off to the running backs. And, I mean, that's totally different. I mean, the footwork is totally, there's so many more things that go into it from being a quarterback under center. The footwork and all that. You know, when you're catching the ball and you're handing off like a zone read or something for these college kids, or even in the NFL, you know, all you got to do is catch the ball and then you stick it into the running back's hands, who's standing right there beside you, you know, in his stomach, and then you're reading the end. But, you know, when you're under center, I mean, you've got to take a, you know, whether they want you to take a 45-degree angle, or if it's power downhill and you got to go to 12 o'clock, I mean, it's, you know, what do you do with your push-off foot, or what do you, you know, you got to get 12 o'clock, because if you get 11 o'clock on the opposite side, then you're going to cut the hole off for the running back. So there's so many things that you got to look at when it comes to that. And some guys don't, they have no clue about being, you know, about being under center. But, you know, there's a lot to learn from these young guys. And you know, I think when you get into college and your first read is not there, guys seem to take off. And that's what, you know, there's not many Lamar Jacksons in the world. Lamar Jackson is an unbelievably talented guy. Now, at some point, you know, he's already had one knee injury. You know, at some point that's going to fail him. And, he's starting to learn how to throw the ball from the pocket. But, you know, every quarterback at some point, even though you're the most talented guy and your most gifted runner, if you play for a long stint in the NFL, you have to learn how to play the game. You take Ben Roethlisberger, for example. When I played against him when he was a rookie, I mean, all he wanted to do was run around. Now, he ran around to make throws. He didn't run around just to run. But then towards the end of his career, he was getting the ball, he was getting rid of the ball faster than anybody in the league. So he had to learn how to play the position. And at some point, every guy has to do that in the pros.
Kelly Holcomb is our guest. You know, it's funny you mentioned Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger. They're fitting Kenny Pickett for a gold jacket after his first preseason game. Now, he's got the small hands. He's going to wear the gloves the whole time. What are your thoughts on Kenny Pickett? Can this guy be a quality franchise quarterback in this league?
I don't know. The time will tell about everything. You really don't know how a kid is going to play, how a kid is going to react. I mean, played at Pitt, he's really good. You know, he was really good in college. He can move around. He can make play. He can make things happen. So, you know, it's so hard to tell what guys are going to do. I mean, you never know how he's going to, you know, I mean, injuries come into effect. I mean, you never know when a guy is going to get injured or be injury prone. So, you know, there's just so many things that you got to look to be a successful quarterback, a successful player in the NFL. And I think it's just hard to say that, hey, this guy's a lock for being a franchise player because you really don't know. I mean, you don't know how the test of time is going to work against him. You know, he completes passes, which is what you want, but, you know, I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you ever have your hands measured?
Oh, yeah, everybody gets your hands. Like, if you go to the combine, that's what they do. They always measure your hands.
Is it a big deal?
I think the bigger your hand is, the more force you can use with the football. I mean, I think the longer your arms are, the more you can whip that ball out there. I mean, you look at these little skinny guys that hit a golf ball, like Will Zalatoris. The dude weighs like 120, and he can hit it 340. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's something to all that stuff, and I think you're big. You know, I think big hands do have a little bit of something to it. I don't think that's the end all be all, though. I mean, you look at a guy like Doug Flutie, and I'm sure he didn't have big hands. The dude just won ball games.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they make too much of it as. You know, I think that's just one of the measuring sticks that the NFL makes a little bit too much of. You know, everybody's got to be big now, and everybody's got to be, you know, I know that Kyler Murray's not very big, but he's a player, and Baker Mayfield's the same thing. But, you know, I think Baker helped Kyler Murray, you know, the way that he came in and played a little bit. But I think they make too much out of all the measurements a lot of times. If a guy can play, a guy can play. I don't care how big his hands are. How big he is, how much he weighs. That's kind of my personal opinion.
Do you ever play quarterback with a glove on your throwing hand?
Never could, man. I tried it. I just never found a glove that was good. I mean, I had Peyton send me some gloves because he wore them when he had his neck surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he could feel the ball like he used to, and I think it kind of helped him grasp the ball. But I don't understand how dudes do it. I feel like every time I got one on, I was going to throw it into the ground. I don't. you got to get used to throwing like that, and you got to throw a lot of balls with a glove on your hand because I just never could do it. I tried it several times because it would be cool if it starts raining, you know, that could kind of nullify the rain for you because, you know, as a quarterback, the wind and the rain are the two most difficult things, the rain being the first. I hate them. I hated playing in the rain. I can remember when we played the Cincinnati Bengals when I was in Cleveland, and the first half it was good, and then the second half came out and it started raining, and the first pass I threw, that ball slipped out of my hands, and I threw it about 5 feet over the receiver's hands, and my butthole puckered up, man. I was like, oh, my God. I said, here we go. Because, you know, Troy Aikman even talks about it. I mean, it does have an effect on your mind.
Oh, Aikman hated to play with a wet ball, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I mean, I hated playing with it, too. It's awful, and, you know, my college coach used to always say, well, you can't grip it as hard, and that is true. You can't grip it as hard because it will fall out of your hand. But, like, if you could get used to a glove and it gets a little bit more tacky when it gets wet, then I would have loved to have used a glove because that could nullify that for you, but I just never felt comfortable with it. I always felt like I was going to throw it straight into the ground.
Well, in Cleveland, Buffalo, you didn't need, it was always warm there. You didn't need a glove. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was warm, all right. It was truly warm.
I should know this. You still doing Riverdale?
I am not, man. I gave that up.
Well,
yeah,
good.
I gave that up.
I thought you might.
I was texting somebody this morning, man. I've been in football for 40 years, and I just I needed a break, man. I love the game. I can't say that I love everywhere that it's going. It's hard. You know, mamas and daddies nowadays, it's hard getting kids to come out for football a lot, and high school football is starting to suffer. I mean, you can see the numbers where there's not as many kids playing high school football because, you know, football's not easy. I mean, you have to go out in the dog days of August and dog days of summer, and it's hot, and you don't want to be out there, and it takes a special person to play. And I always go back to what Urban Meyer said. He said in an article one time, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, you've got to motivate a kid. You got to motivate a kid to go hit another kid. I mean, that's just not humanly, you know, in our spirit to go smash another kid, you know, like put pads on and, like, you know, I know that we're men and we got testosterone, but like to go put pads on in the middle of summer and go just try to hit guys and just being miserable out there, that's not easy. And not everybody can do it. And even Jameson's strength coach talked about that. He said, you know, not everybody can do it. That's why they don't do it. And it's sometimes it's not very enjoyable. So I just, you know, I was around it for 40 years and it seems like, you know, when I was growing up, that's what you wanted to do. All the kids in high school wanted to play football, but now you got to beg kids to come out. You got to beg kids to get to practice. I don't know, man. I'm over that. I was over it. I just feel like, I don't feel like it's passed me by because I can still do it. I enjoy being around the kids and I enjoy mentoring them, but I needed a break from it for a little bit.
Kelly, as always, thank you, man. Check's in the mail.
Yeah, I'm sure. Is it on the 12th? The 12th of never? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. See you, buddy.
Guys, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Kelly.
Kelly Holcomb, good dude. All of our MTSU-related visitors, of course, Kelly, brought to you by Bud Morse, State Farm Insurance. Bud, 3245 Franklin Road. Been